Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it is our intended purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or maybe a comment about something that we say on the program, let us hear from you. Maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject, and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program. Again, let us hear from you. You can do so by contacting us by the address given by the announcer, or better yet, contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. I wished I could figure out what God's will for my life is. You know, this statement is often expressed in one way or another by many in the religious world. The idea is that there is some particular path that God has laid out especially for me, and I need to figure out what that is and get on with it. If you question such a notion, you might be met with quotations of Scripture, like that what we read in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. In reading it from the New American Standard, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So we see here that does God have plans for you? Let us go to His Word and see. Let us start with the plans referred to here in this passage that we just read from Jeremiah. Go back, if you will, one verse in Jeremiah 29. We read verse 11. Let's go back and look at verse 10. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." We see that when we back up to that verse, the plans that God has for the people are that after 70 years of captivity, God will bring them back to Jerusalem. They are, let us understand, postponed plans, because the Lord is speaking of a promised land to them that is to come. They're in Judah, they're in Jerusalem, but because of their sin, God is bringing judgment upon them at the hands of the Babylonians. They're going to be taken into captivity. It's going to be for 70 years. But God's plan is that at the end of that 70 years, He will bring them back to Jerusalem, back to the land of Judah. You know, I think really we are in a similar situation. We know God's plan for us involves a promised land that awaits us. That is where our true future and hope lays. Let's notice what we read in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 8. We have Paul here during the speaking when he says, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." See, it turns out that the plans God has for you, the plans that God has for me, are the plans that he has for all of his people. And this shouldn't disappoint us, but it rather should excite us that God has made plans that include all of those who will be his special people, as Peter points out in 1 Peter 2 in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." So we see then. But what about right now? You know, this is really what most people want to know when they ask about what's God's will for my life. Well, if we go back to Jeremiah 29, we find that God addresses this very thing. Let's look at verse 5. Jeremiah 29, verse 5. "Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce." It's just why we're here. Look at verse 6. "Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease." You see, in these two verses, God is telling his people what his will is while they are living in Babylon. He instructs them, build houses, plant gardens, start families, seek the welfare of the city. So, again, here we are, you and I, we're living in a type of Babylon. We are living in this world of which we are pilgrims. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, we're told, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ." So, we are, as we've said, like Judah of old. We are living in a Babylon, but we have been promised another place, a better place. God's will is still generally delivered as we continue to build houses, plant gardens, and start families. He's not singled out me with some special revelation, but I'm left with the same instructions as he has given for all that I want to follow him. But, you know, that's not a disappointment. It's marvelous to know that I can fulfill God's will for me in the daily activities of life. I don't need to achieve some extraordinary feat or to receive the glory and the approval of man. I can do God's will when I go to work, like what I'm commanded to do in Ephesians 6. Verses 5 through 7. The principles of these verses have everything to do with the employer-employee relationship today, but it says, "Slaves, be obedient to those that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, knowing the will of God from the heart, doing rather the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men." I can fulfill God's plan in when I go to work, when I love my wife, as I'm told that I need to do in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, which simply says, "Husbands, love your wives." Or when I come and I worship together with other saints, we're told in Hebrews 10, verse 24, we're to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So in all of these things, I can do God's will. And if we, you know, if we could not just find joy in the daily obedience to God's will. Well, do you want more than this? Are you looking for some more detail? Well, excuse me, let's consider two examples of men that wanted more. Do you remember the lawyer who came to Jesus and he asked a question? We read it in Luke chapter 10. The lawyer came to Jesus stood up and put to him the test, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus responded when he said, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? And yet the lawyer wanted more detail, so he asked, who is my neighbor? Now, what the lawyer wanted was an explanation that would make him feel good about what he was already doing, because it tells us that he was seeking to justify himself, and that we read in verse 29. What he got was an explanation of the command that showed just how far short that he had fallen. There's another example that we have, and that's what we refer to often as the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus with almost an identical question. Good Master, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? Matthew 19, verse 16. Well, Jesus likewise responded with what had already been written. The rich young ruler lived under the law of Moses, so that's what Jesus said. You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, when Jesus said that, when he explained to this boy, or gave to this boy, the things that the law of Moses had already written, then obviously this man, we can see, had a better heart than the lawyer back there in Luke chapter 10, because he asked, you know, who about his neighbor, but he also asked for more instruction. So Jesus gave him more. He said, what lack I yet? And he told him, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Well, that was not the answer that the young man wanted. And we know, as we finish reading the story, that he went away sorrowful. And so it is for the person who says he wants more than God has revealed. He's searching for something grand, for something exciting. He looks for a green light, for something that he has already decided that he's doing. But then he looks into the scriptures to find more and find out what God's will truly is. Friends, it does not say what he hoped it would say, what he expected it to say. What will he do? Well, what will we do? Well, let us prepare ourselves to conform to God's will, and that way we can prepare ourselves for the plan that God has for our future and for our hope. Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate it, and thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.